That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Authorities say at least six people have died in wildfires that are raging through Northern California and threaten tens of thousands of homes. The state fire agency, CAL FIRE, says three civilians have died in Napa County and one in Solano County since the fires began. California Governor Gavin Newsom asks residents to evacuate when asked, saying the state hasn't seen this much fire activity in many years.
Heed the emergency notices and the evacuation orders. You take them seriously. 119,000 people so far have, because 771,000 acres has already been burned in the state of California, the equivalent to the size of the state of Rhode Island.
Crews from Oregon, Idaho, and Arizona have arrived to relieve local firefighters with engines on their way from as far as Maryland and New Jersey. Two storms may converge on the U.S. Gulf Coast by the first part of next week, creating potential problems for residents. Tropical Storm Laura and a depression likely to become Tropical Storm Marco are the possible threats. If both storms survive the weekend, Laura's forecast to head towards the central Gulf Coast around Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the western Florida panhandle, while the other system may take aim at Texas. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy faced tough questions from a Senate panel investigating how he's running the U.S. Postal Service. DeJoy said he had no idea there was a process for removing blue collection boxes and mail processing equipment.
I was made aware when everybody else was made aware. It was not a critical issue. Within the Postal Service. This has been going on in every election year and every year for that matter.
DeJoy told senators that election mail would be prioritized for delivery as in years past. On Wall Street, the Dow by 190 points, the NASDAQ rose 46, the S&P advanced 11, oil down to $42.30 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Who's your wireless network? AT&T? Verizon? Well, you could be saving $400 a year just by switching to Pure Talk USA. Pure Talk is on the same network, same towers, just 50% of the price. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. Switch to Pure Talk today. Go to puretalkusa.com, enter the promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code HALFOFF. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by friends of Scott Hammond.
At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers. Name brands like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group.
It's 5:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. The Review Journal is reporting a fire broke out at a storage unit at the Westgate, Las Vegas, about 3:30 this afternoon. The pool deck was evacuated, and reports indicate that the fire has been contained and one guest has suffered a minor injury. Coming soon to a marijuana dispensary near you, drive-through windows. Clark County commissioners have given the go-ahead for dispensaries to make the change effective September 3rd. The decision applies only to dispensaries in unincorporated Clark County. Las Vegas and Henderson both say marijuana dispensaries in their communities cannot add drive-through windows. Well, it doesn't anticipate any blackouts due to the high energy demand. NV Energy is still asking you to conserve energy wherever you can. Company officials say the rolling blackouts California has experienced are not likely to happen here in Nevada. Bars, taverns, and other local alcohol-serving businesses in Clark County will have to stay closed for at least 2 more weeks. That's the decision from Nevada's COVID-19 Mitigation Task Force. At yesterday's weekly task force meeting, Clark and Washoe County officials had sought permission to reopen their bars, but they'll have to re-examine that in 2 weeks.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Now, taking a look at the traffic cams, it looks like the good old days. Heavy volumes continue up and down Interstate 15 right now, north at Tropicana, south at Owens. And we're also getting some slow flows on the Beltway, too. 215 west at the 15 and 215 eastbound at Green Valley.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour of Live and Local, brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. I'm so excited because guess who's joining us next? You hear her every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., a morning show host on AM 670 KMZQ. She is Heidi Harris. She usually gets up way too early for me, but she does it. Heidi, first of all, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. I always love having you on the show. And I just want to tell you that you didn't lose any sleep. I'm glad, because you didn't miss much. 4 nights of the Democrat National Convention. Did you see any of the clips? I hope you did not stay up and lose any sleep over this.
Oh, no. I did not see any of the clips. Always great talking to you, too, Kevin. I did not see any of the clips. But I got to tell you, the few times – well, no, I lied. I did not stay up late, but I did catch a couple of the clips here and there. And when I watched them, I was so disgusted within seconds. All it was, you know, was a 4-day tirade about how horrible America is. And the difference between what the Democrats did for 4 nights, I believe, versus what Obama did, 12 years ago, and other people have done, is Obama, it gave them hope and change. Now, I don't agree with anything he said, but it was hope and change. All the Democrats did this last week was talk about negativity and trying to tear down. And people are more likely to go out and vote for something than they are against something, which was evidenced in 2016 when Trump talked about draining the swamp. So people, I don't think anybody who was sitting on the fence, who didn't know one way or the other, was swayed by this at all.
Do you think a presidential election can swing on the issue of
a negative, if you will, that, you know, we've got to vote against Trump rather than vote for Biden, because there's nothing there with Biden.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think people are generally more prone to go out and vote for something, which is what they did with Trump. And now, obviously, the whole world is turned upside down. And I think that there are a lot of people who are tired of getting beaten up in the public square for talking about their support of Trump. And I think a lot of people are going to go out and vote for him again because they realize this economy is in a shambles right now. It's not Trump's fault that it's in a shambles. It's the China virus. And the only way it's going to come back is somebody like Trump leading the economy back, because Biden's not going to do it. What's he talking about? He's talking about taxes. He's talking about windmills and solar panels. I don't know about you, Kevin, but nobody I know is talking about windmills or solar panels. They're talking about how to keep their house, how to keep their car, how to feed their kids. And that just shows you how completely disconnected the Democrats are.
I want you to hear Jennifer Granholm. This is cut number four. And this is Jennifer Granholm on CNN last night to show you how crazed these demo rats are. This was Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan. She was on CNN last night. Over the top gaga about the Biden speech. Here it is.
I completely agree with Van. I am the hardcore, fiercest partisan here. I am just like, if I could jump out of the chair, I mean, this is the best night for Joe Biden ever. Really, this is so fantastic. People were complaining, oh, it's so much about him. It's so, you know, his heart, all of that. We don't have any policy. I counted. He listed 20 pieces of policy that he's going to be promising. But more, it was all in there. But more important than that, this whole notion of the future and of forward looking and all the young people who were featured all through this convention, at the very beginning when people were asked to imagine, what do I want to see next year? Everything is so hopeful. It's so positive. I am beyond words thrilled.
That is Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan. But I did not watch the whole thing. In fact, I watched very little of it. But what I did see, it was more what Biden did not say, rather than what he said. There just wasn't any there.
No, what is Jennifer Granholm talking about as far as the young people who were featured? The only person, really younger person, was AOC. Everybody else was, let's open up the crypt and drag them all out. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. I mean, all this big, long list of Nancy Pelosi. Where are the young Democrats who should have been speaking? Because AOC really is the only one representing the younger folks. And it was really kind of pathetic, frankly.
The big issue locally, obviously, is schools are going to open next Monday, and you've been this way before. You've covered so many of these Monday mornings where we're all worried about whether the buses are going to break down or get there, or they're going to take kids to the wrong school. The challenges this year, more than any other year, are so incredibly unique. Your thoughts on what's going to happen next Monday? You think they're going to pull it off?
Well, I think there'll be some, you know, a little bit of pandemonium, obviously. I'm not worried about the kids getting this or spreading this. I mean, at this point, all of the research has not shown that to be the case. And obviously, a lot of kids are going to be home, you know, learning from home. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to be necessarily that smooth right away, because the kids have been out of school for so long. I know the teachers are going to be in a tough spot trying to make up for what the kids haven't learned, because some parents are just not that consistent about backing up what the kids should have been learning for these last few months. So I think it's going to be interesting to see for sure.
I'm just curious. There are so many kids that are going to be really challenged by this. You've got supposedly 30,000 laptops short. So there are some kids right now that, as of right now, do not have the Chromebooks. You've got 23% of the kids are ELL, English language learners. They don't even speak English. How are they going to function? And what about special needs kids? These are all things that the district, at least heretofore, has not come up with a solution for.
Listen, I think we all know, after the way things have been handled, with teachers saying, oh, I'm scared to go back, and all this ridiculousness. It's not about the kids. It's never been about the kids. Nobody cares about the kids. Teachers are always catching colds and whatnot, dealing with the kids. This is always something that's happened. and the kids have been used as footballs. And I don't have kids, you don't have kids, but when you talk to people who are parents, you know, like our dear friend Victor Jake, folks like that who've gone through this hell with the kids, they're trying to get things, or even if you're a homeschooling parent. I talked to another friend of mine, Zach Moyle. I know you know Zach.
Yep.
He's got three kids under 10, like 6, 8, and 10. His kids can't do anything. They can't go anywhere. He homeschools, so he spends a lot of time with his kids. But all the outside activities that children used to do are all closed to them. This is a miserable time for a lot of parents and a miserable time for children. They're not getting education. They're not getting the socializing that they need at that age. They're not getting the outlet. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't play any organized sport growing up here in Vegas, not any of them. But we were out in the desert all day long, riding our bikes, building forts, doing all the kinds of things that kids in Vegas don't really do now. Their backyards are 4 feet wide. They can't play in them. They can't go out in the desert. Their parents are terrified they're going to get, you know, sliced up by a serial killer. So, you know, we didn't have to have organized sports. We just lived our lives. Now it's totally different. If you want your kids to do something, you have to take them somewhere for the most part, and you can't. It's terrible for parents.
So what will parents do? I mean, we know what the choices are. Either you either stay home with your kids and organize them the best you can, make sure you've got enough Chromebooks, or you go to work.
Right. It's very difficult. What about parents who have more than one kid who are trying to learn at the same time? You know, like our dear friend Aaron Phillips has, you know, five kids, as you know.
Yep.
Three of them are school age, and they're all at different levels, all in, different rooms of Chromebooks? I mean, it's just going to be a very, very difficult thing, and it's going to fall upon the parents, obviously, to reinforce things. And, you know, little kids, they spend enough time on, you know, on the screens. I know I spend enough time on screens as it is. Little kids don't need to be sitting at a computer for hours on end. They can't sit still. They're little kids. And it's just very, very difficult. And that's why more and more parents are talking about saying, the heck with this. I may just homeschool my child. And then some people are doing, I know you've heard about this, where teachers are you know, maybe having several parents pay them. So they'll have five or six kids in somebody's house and they teach them, and that teacher is just handling those kids. That's something that a lot of people, what do they call it? Micro something.
Micro schooling.
That's it. Okay. I think that's a great idea. And some parents are doing that. And people are being, becoming more and more resourceful. But the problem, Kevin, is, who gets left behind? The poor kids. The kids who don't necessarily, in some cases, now a lot of parents who are poor are very good parents who help their kids the best they can. But there are a lot of parents who don't necessarily. It's very difficult for them. They don't have the resources. Their parents may or may not have the education to be able to help them, with even with the basics sometimes. So they're the ones, once again, who get left behind. And you know and I know the legislature is going to fight like hell to stop any kind of school choice from happening during the next session.
Heidi Harris joining us. You hear her every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Weekdays here on AM 670 KMZQ. Coming up, we're going to talk about the teachers, because the teachers are kind of the linchpin for all of this. We'll talk about what they're going to do. They've had 2 weeks of training. 2 weeks of training to do this online learning. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Big fashion trend?
Mask can be a fashion statement.
It's true. I bedazzled mine.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Opioid overdoses will affect many lives this year. It could happen to a friend, a sibling, a grandmother, or a young father, like Grant Denton, who overdosed September 12, 2012, at age 34.
I did overdose on opioids, and it nearly ended my life. Thanks to someone carrying naloxone, my life was saved.
Naloxone is a simple nose spray that reverses the effects of an opioid overdose. Naloxone should only be used in an emergency. Call 911 and seek medical treatment immediately after administering naloxone. If you suspect someone is experiencing an opioid overdose, naloxone can help you save their life. Care enough. Carry naloxone. To learn more, visit nvopioidresponse.org. This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
You've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You have to carefully monitor your health for the rest of your life. And you have an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease.
Cut. Take two. Action.
You've been diagnosed with a new purpose. To fight for the amazing life you've made for yourself. To look that risk of heart disease square in the face and say, no, not me. You've been given a new opportunity to live. Get started at nodiabetesbyheart.org.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Okay, so what happens next week? Teachers in the Clark County School District have been given 2 weeks to train for this task of learning how to do distance learning. Heidi Harris joining us, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. morning host here on AM 670 KMZQ. And so what about the teachers? Teachers are, you know, and again, I love teachers. I'm not crazy about the teachers' unions or some of the union bosses. I agree with you. There are some people that just are not concerned about the kids. Let me just ask you, though, is 2 weeks enough for these teachers?
Well, it should be. I mean, they get a curriculum and they learn how to, you know, do it on the computer. You know, the biggest issue is going to be parents, unfortunately. Teachers can teach all they want to, but parents have to make sure the kids are there, that the kids are signed in, that the kids are paying attention. I think they should be giving kids a lot of breaks. I don't know how that's working. For heaven's sake, they give casino dealers a break for 20 minutes every hour, right? It used to be every 40 minutes. I think it's an hour now. But for heaven's sake, they ought to get the kids out of, you know, the chairs every little so often to walk around and things like that. So it's going to be difficult because you're trying to get squirmy wormies to sit still and do what kids don't really do very well. Now, kids can sit at a computer game for hours and play. We all know that. I love when people say my kid's got ADHD, and I say to them, can your kid play a computer game for hours? Well, yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm not a teacher, and I'm not a medical expert, but I find that funny. I don't know if they're going to do it successfully. It's going to really come down to what kind of reinforcement the kids are getting at home, I think.
The parents are going to play a huge role if they are home. And I, like you, am kind of intrigued by this idea of micro schooling. We can talk about that another time. But for me, this whole idea of parents taking their kids' education into their own hands, I like that idea.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, you have to, ultimately, it's your job to educate your child. It's your child, not the government's job. I had a guy call years ago. We were talking about all-day kindergarten, and he said, well, I like all-day kindergarten. He said, my little boy's been in all-day kindergarten for 3 weeks, and now he can count to five. I mean, I was speechless, Kevin, and I'm literally speechless. What have you been teaching your... I mean, I have kids in my church where I teach, you know, I do nursery. We all rotate. I do nursery once a month. These little kids are, you know, 3 years old. They can count to 20.
Yeah, well, no, there used to be a program, and I think it's still around. It's been around for 20 years, and that's the Parents as First Teachers, where that's the stuff that you're supposed to be teaching your own kids, not waiting for the government to do it for you.
Right, but who needed a program? My mom didn't need a program. My dad didn't need a program. You sit in the car, you recite the alphabet to them, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I mean, this is called normal life, conversation, teaching. When I played with the kids at my church, who were, I like the oldest ones are 3 years old, and I'll pick up a ball or a block, and I'll say, what color is this? They'll say red, blue. I mean, this is just all, it's a part of play to reinforce it. They already know a lot of their colors because their parents are involved and care about them, but that's how we do it. Well, this is red, this is blue, this is that. That's what you're supposed to do, and unfortunately, some parents, most of them care, but some just think it's the school's job to educate their child completely. And that's pretty scary, and they're going to be in for a world of hurt when their kids aren't learning this year.
Well, and one of the things that we're going to be looking for probably in the first week is how many kids don't have high-speed internet. They're actually talking about having buses bring hotspots to neighborhoods that don't have the internet. Is it possible that that's going to work? I know.
The parents should be able to tie into the hotspot, or the kids should all get on the bus and cough on each other, which is
yeah. No. Or is it that we're going to use buses to bring hotspots, park it on right. on a street corner, and everybody within 100 yards. We'll get high speed internet. Those of you that live 105 yards away, you're out of luck.
You know what? It's just stunning. And once again, the kids in the neighborhoods where people can't afford high speed internet are going to be paying the price for this, yeah. As they always do. And that's the unfortunate part. And hopefully, there'll be some school choice that's going to be discussed in the legislature because, you know, parents are. It's not okay for you to be a teacher and not have to teach. And these kids have been out of school basically for months. And then the teachers, you know, they want to make their full salary, but they don't want to have to go back. I'm not laying this all at the teacher's feet. It's mostly the unions and this and that. But the kids are the ones who've been stuck in the middle. They've been the innocent victims here. And, of course, the parents who don't know what to do. Many parents are out of work. But as you mentioned, Kevin, when they go back to work, they're going to have to make a choice.
I know that Monday next week will come very quickly for you, 6 to 9 a.m. Here on AM 670 KMZQ. And one of the things that you'll be talking about, I'm sure, over the first couple of days is the next convention, the more positive convention, the Republican National Convention. What do you expect?
Well, I think hopefully there'll be a lot of positive discussion. I think that they probably learned from the Democrats. Okay, first of all, when you're doing some of these events via video, it does lose a lot. You know, Michelle Obama, you don't like her, I don't like her, but when she walks out on a stage in a killer dress and she has that presence, that wasn't there. She's sitting on a computer. It loses so much. It's unbelievable. Now, it helped Biden because he probably did 42 takes of his 20-minute speech to get it right, but for other people, it really loses something. But I think the Republicans hopefully will learn to do it as well as they possibly can. Be very positive. Give people something to vote for, not something to vote against. Talk about how great we are, how quickly we can get back on track, but only with somebody who actually understands how to make businesses successful and to get out of their way and let Americans be successful.
And I fully expect the president, he's going to speak from the White House South Lawn on Thursday, but I'm guessing before that he will be somewhere in a battleground state doing one of those hangar speeches. Have you seen those where they pull up Air Force One and he comes trotting downstairs and jumps up on the stage and gives the speech and then waves to the crowd and gets back on Air Force One and flies away? Have you seen those?
I have seen those. Those are very cool. I'll tell you who I'm looking forward to hearing. Not necessarily a parade of politicians, but I'm interested to hear Nick Sandman, you know, that young kid, as you know, the Covington Catholic School kid, who was falsely accused by a lot of media outlets of harassing this Native American man. He's already sued many outlets. He's already won a couple of lawsuits. I can't wait to hear his story. You talk about 17 years old and lied about. Can you even imagine lied about at the national level by these outlets who had absolutely no shame? I mean, they considered him collateral damage. They didn't care what they